Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In these times of extreme uncertainty, many people feel there's something missing from their lives, but they're not sure what. Some turn to new religions for spiritual fulfillment, others to pets they can love, or to chosen families to replace their inadequate biological ones. So this week, I'm looking at three new movies, two dramas and a documentary about people trying to replace something missing. There's an English teacher in Argentina who talks to a penguin, a caregiver in Kentucky looking for a replacement dad, and a religious cult in Japan trying to bring about the end of the world. The Penguin Lessons, directed by Peter Cataneo, based on true story. It's March 1976 in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Tom Michel, played by Steve Coogan, is a newly hired English teacher at a boys' prep school for rich kids. It's run by the strictly by-the-book headmaster, Buckle, played by Jonathan Pryce. No pets and no politics. Divorced, middle-aged, and jaded, Michel cares less about morals. Or little about morals. He describes himself as like a Hemingway, but without the money, and he never wrote anything. The boys in the class are spoiled and unruly. They don't listen to a word he says, but bombs and rifles can be heard even within the walls of this elite academy. There's a US-backed coup d'etat going on out there to install a military dictatorship. When the school closes for a week, Michelle and fellow teacher Tapio, a hapless Finn, played by Bjorn Gustafsson, head out to the Punta del Este in Uruguay to sit out the coup. But a romantic seaside stroll with a woman Michelle meets turns, much to his chagrin, into a mission to save a flock of birds caught in an oil spill. They clean the penguin's feathers, but by morning the woman was gone and the penguin won't leave him alone. He reluctantly takes him back to the school in the hopes of donating him to a zoo, but the school kids adore him and actually start to pay attention in class as long as the bird is around. But all is not well. Plainclothes police are disappearing anyone who disagrees with the government, including the beautiful but opinionated Sophia, played by Vivian El Haber, the school's cleaning woman. Can a little penguin bring peace to the school and pull them all together? What will happen if headmaster catches him with the bird? And will Michel ever stick his neck out to challenge the status quo? The Penguin Lessons is a touching, cute, nostalgic, and easily digestible story set during a dark and sinister era. Director Cataneo brought us similar English crowd pleasers like The Full Monty. And you know what? I'll see anything with Steve Coogan in it. They're always good. This movie is full of all the cliched crowd pleasers you expect. Kids, animals, history, and a wisecracking cynic who might have a soul. But I don't care. That penguin is just so cute. Okay, I admit it. I've been played. I'm a sucker of a critic who fell for a bird. But so will you. I like this movie. Aum, The Cult at the End of the World, written and directed by Ben Braun and Chiaki Yanagimoto. It's March 1995 in Tokyo when something unexpected happens, unexpected and terrifying happens. Someone lets loose poison gas at Kasumigaseki Station, where three train lines converge. 5,800 people are injured and 13 of them killed. And this is a planned attack, not an accident. So who is responsible and why did it happen? Well, decades earlier, a child named Chizuo is born into a post-World War II family with visual disabilities. Years later, he opens a yoga school to attract paying customers. Somewhere along the way, the yoga school changes first into a religious sect and later into a bona fide cult with tens of thousands of members. The group is called Aum Shindikyo, and they set up a headquarters on the banks of the sacred Mount Fuji. Their guru, now known as Shoko Asahara, with long hair and beard and flowing pink robes, convinces his worshippers that he is a god with supernatural powers. Popular music and anime videos extolling Asahara attract lots of favorable media attention, and detached young Japanese join in droves to experience miracles like levitation. These followers drink his bathwater or take tiny transfusions of his blood even as he drains their bank accounts dry. Others have wires attached to their brains. Only bland food is permitted, no sex, no free thinking. The cult expands internationally, migrating to Moscow once the Soviet Union falls, converting countless Russians to their cause. And while they're there, the members, the top members, get a hold of military-grade artillery, chemicals, and biological weapons, which they ship back to Japan. Eventually, this leads to the horrific sarin gas killings in Tokyo and Matsumoto. Aum, the cult at the end of the world, is an extensive, shocking, and at times terrifying documentary about this bizarre and dangerous cult. It covers the story throughout Asahara's life and beyond using period footage and new talking head interviews. It goes right to the source. It's victims, innocent people wrongly blamed for Aum's crimes, journalists who follow the story, and advocates who, long before the sarin attacks, were trying to free friends and relatives from their clutches, but the police did nothing. Perhaps most chilling of all are the interviews with Joyu, the high-ranked Aum Shinrikyo member who is allegedly behind some of its most heinous chemical weapons. I found this documentary extremely engrossing and well-researched, narrated in the form of an oral history by those most affected by these atrocities. I couldn't stop watching this one. I wonder, why have there been so many movies about the Manson family, but relatively few on Aum Shinrikyo? Well, this one helps fill that gap. Bob Trevino likes it. Written and directed by Tracy Lehman, based on true story. It's present-day Northern Kentucky. Lily Trevino, played by Barbie Ferreira, is a young woman who works as a caregiver for Daphne, played by Lorene Lolo Spencer, a woman with a degenerative condition. Lily has no friends, and her boyfriend dumped her using texts. Robert Trevino, her dad, played by French Stewart, is a flippantly cruel and self-centered man-boy responsible for most of Lily's neuroses. He blames her for ruining his life. Her mom died as an addict when she was still a child. But things hit rock bottom when her dad, Bob Trevino, cuts off all communication with his daughter. In a desperate search on Facebook to see what he's up to, she ends up liking a different Trevino. This Bob, played by John Leguizamo, is everything her own father is not. He's kind, honest, and giving. Someone who pays attention to her texts. Bob works as a contractor out of his trailer. He has few hobbies. He likes gazing at the shooting stars, while his wife, Jeannie, played by Rachel Bay Jones, is into making scrapbooks. When childless Bob and parentless Lily finally meet face-to-face, they find a familiar warmth they can't quite explain. Jeannie thinks Lily's just a grifter or an aspiring catfish trying to get his money, while insecure Lily is afraid of messing things up. So can two people who live in different states ever have a real friendship? And is this new friendship superficial or deep? Bob Trevino Likes It is a very cute, very sweet tearjerker of a movie about friendship, kinship, and chosen families. Barbie Ferreira plays Lily as a non-stop faucet. She weeps in the opening, she weeps in the middle, and she weeps at the end. And as the viewer, I cried along with her. John Leguizamo, once known for his over-the-top comedy, is at his most restrained in this one. And much of the dialogue is done through texting on cell phones. But despite all the tears, it's told in a light, humorous way. This is a really nice indie movie. Bob Trivino Likes It is now playing across Canada with the Penguin Lessons opening this weekend in Toronto. Check your local listings. And Aum is now available on video on demand. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.